should goodness ever lose, and evil steal the day, should happy sing the blues, and peaceful fade away, what would you do? What would you say? How would you act on?
The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys, and then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Ah, welcome to a Tuesday. Not just any Tuesday. Oh my God, what a day. So far, huh? By the way, if you heard the end of our pre-show music there, it's a brand new song from Neil Young. For everyone who's screaming, we don't have enough protest songs. That is a brand new protest song from Neil Young. It's called Children of Destiny. It's available on Spotify and all the other, you know, streaming places. So check it out. It sounds like Neil Young from, the same album that gave us Let's Impeach the President for Lying. I'm drawing a blank on the name of the album, but you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, and a good thought. Let's impeach the president for not only him lying, but his son lying, his administration lying, and everybody else involved. I don't even know where to begin. The last time we spoke, Trump was still overseas. He was still in Hamburg for the G20, or maybe we should call it the G19. So much has happened over the weekend. And I don't know about you, but I have a really hard time keeping it all straight. With everything else going on in the world, I feel like I'm spinning in this vortex and I'm being hit on all ends with stuff. First of all, there was the stuff from the G20. And the meeting with Putin and the, you know, Trump being his isolationist self, you know, after pulling out of the Paris Climate Accord. And although I agreed with pulling out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, still, he was like an island unto himself, if only he would go to that island and leave us alone, right? Then over the weekend, the New York Times had the article about Donald Trump Jr. and a meeting. Well, today we got the email that set up the meeting with a woman, an attorney, who was purported to be representing the government and its support for Mr. Trump. And there was reportedly, according to the New York Times, an offer, an enticement of incriminating evidence against Hillary Clinton, something that the Trump campaign could use. Now, I feel like I'm starting in the middle of the story, but the beginning of the story is all covered in What's New. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Since today's Tuesday, Gotta Laugh is standing by. We'll do What's News early to get caught up, and then I'll get Laffy on the line because this is too much for me to deal with alone. Frankly, my head is still spinning. So we'll do it. What's News?
I read the news today.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
On Monday night, the New York Times broke another story about Donald Trump Jr.'s meeting with a Russian lawyer, ostensibly to get information detrimental to Hillary Clinton's campaign. From CNN.
Here's the lead paragraph. Quote, before arranging a meeting with a Kremlin-connected Russian lawyer he believed would offer him compromising information about Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump Jr. was informed in an email that the material was part of a Russian government effort to aid his father's candidacy. This is according to three people with knowledge of the email. Maggie Haberman of the New York Times joins us now. Explain what you know and all the details you can.
There's a lot that we know. There's also a lot that we don't know. What we know is what you just described. We know that before this meeting that has been the subject of stories over the last few days was arranged, that Donald Trump Jr. was informed in an email that there was some compromising information about Hillary Clinton and that it was part of a Russian government effort to help his father's campaign. The email came from Rob Goldstone, who was this publicist, former tabloid reporter. He was essentially the intermediary on this meeting between Donald Trump Jr. and a Russian lawyer. Initial statement from Don Trump said that this meeting was about adoptions. In his subsequent statement on Sunday, he said that it was indeed a presentation initially about information about Hillary Clinton, and then it became clear, you know, as he was talking to this woman, that she didn't have information, according to him. But look, the fact that there is an email chain where it was said, and it's not clear whether Goldstone had direct knowledge of any of this, but the fact that there was an email chain even discussing this makes it more complicated, certainly, and harder to say that there were no strings attached or no concerns potentially about this.
NBC's Keir Simmons spoke with the Russian attorney, Natalia Veselnitskaya, Tuesday morning.
She tells a fascinating story of getting a phone call from a man she didn't know and being told to come to Trump Tower for a meeting with the Trump campaign. She says they wanted information, particularly financial information about the Clinton campaign, information she says she didn't have.
They had the impression, it appears, that they were going to be told some information that you had about the DNC. How did they get that impression?
It's quite possible that maybe they were looking for such information. They wanted it so badly.
To better understand the complicated tale, we turn to Stephen Colbert.
There is no evidence of collusion or even the desire to collude with the Russians by anyone in the Trump campaign. Is something that was true 48 hours ago. We learned yesterday that on June 9th of last year, Donald Trump Jr. met with a Russian lawyer after being promised damaging information on Hillary Clinton. The meeting took place at Trump Tower and included Jared Kushner and then Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort, and proves that at least some in the campaign were willing to accept Russian help. So it's not a smoking gun. But it is a gun meeting with a Russian bullet about their mutual desire to smoke. Pretty damning. But Don Jr. had a good explanation. It was a short introductory meeting. I asked Jared and Paul to stop by. We primarily discussed a program about the adoption of Russian children. So, in the end, much ado about nothing other than the fact that five White House advisors then confirmed that Don Jr. only took the meeting because the lawyer promised to provide damaging information on Hillary Clinton. Uh-oh. So, like all the most innocent people, Don Jr. offered a second explanation. I was asked to have a meeting by an acquaintance I knew from the 2013 Miss Universe pageant with an individual who I was told might have information helpful to the campaign. I was not told her name prior to the meeting. I asked Jared and Paul to attend, but I told them nothing of the substance. Let me break that down for you. We're supposed to believe that during the height of the presidential campaign, on the advice of a guy he met at the Miss Universe pageant, Don Jr. said, "Hey, Jared, Paul, I know you guys are a little busy right now, but I need you to come to a meeting." "With who?" "I don't know." "About what?" "I'm not telling you." Okay, we're in.
Meanwhile, the president is back home after attending the G20, or G19, as some are calling it, due to the lack of participation by the U.S. in climate change and trade programs embraced by the rest of the world. David Gergen, former advisor to Presidents Nixon, Ford, Reagan, and Clinton.
"This is the first time I've seen a president come to a G20 meeting in which he's no longer regarded as the leader, no longer regarded as the world leader. And Europe is going its own separate way. Japan just signed this big trade agreement with Europe. That is troubling."
In Hamburg, Trump met with Russian President Vladimir Putin, where we're told he did bring up the Russian interference with the U.S. 2016 elections. His solution? He tweeted, "Putin and I discussed forming an impenetrable cybersecurity unit so that election hacking and many other negative things will be guarded."
"It's not the dumbest idea I've ever heard, but it's pretty close."
"What do you mean?" "I am sure that Vladimir Putin could be of enormous assistance in that effort since he's doing the hacking."
After Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin publicly defended the idiotic idea, Trump backtracked, tweeting, "The fact that President Putin and I discussed a cybersecurity unit doesn't mean I think it can happen. It can't."
I got good news.
And that's a bit of What's News for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. The Nicole Sandler Show and What's News are 100% listener funded. So if you appreciate what we do, I hope you'll consider a contribution. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
"Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal, and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases."
"But I just bought..."
"Don't worry, we can't see what you bought."
"Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air."
And by the way, if you're going to participate in the Amazon Prime Day or whatever it is they have going on today, big sales, lots of big sales, but you have to be a member of Amazon Prime, do it through the portal. Just go to NicoleSandler.com. You'll see it says Amazon Portal. Click there. It'll take you to what looks like a regular Amazon page. Use it. I get a little commission on anything you buy. So it's a great way to help us out without having to, you know, send a donation in. Okay? All right. Let's do this.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Aha, uh-huh. Got a laugh. Are you there? Uh-oh, got a laugh. There you are.
Can you hear me?
I can now.
Yay! Well, you've reached the Laffy's Big Road Trip Hotline.
Oh, yeah, you were away last week.
Oh, yes, I was. Press 1 if you think Laffy should have stayed holed up inside the ancient, peaceful, cool, 4-foot-thick-walled Pueblo adobe dwellings instead of coming back to deal with all the current 4-foot-thick-skulled Trump atrocities.
I would have, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would have if I could have. Yeah. Press 2 if you think even the 124-degree record heat wave that fried Laffy in La Quinta can't compete with the heat Trump Jr. and Daddy Dearest are feeling over the latest conspiracy with a Russian operative.
Yeah, I hope so.
Indeed. And press 3 if you think your blood pressure drops when you're without any Wi-Fi in the Arizona mountains, or as I like to call it, health care.
Oh, that's funny.
That was awesome. You should have seen me. I was trying to watch MSNBC live on my phone because we didn't receive it there on the TV. It was the only place, by the way, for once on a big long trip that we didn't receive MSNBC. And I wanted to watch Rachel's report on something. I don't remember anymore, but it was something she had been talking about. And I couldn't get on. And the reception was so spotty, the Wi-Fi, even though there was Wi-Fi, that all I got was the loading, and all these messages telling me I was crazy for even trying. So I really was unplugged, at least for a day or two.
Yeah, but you were tweeting. I saw you tweeting up a storm. You were more on top of stuff than I was. I can't keep up with everything.
It's like, really hard. The real only reason I could do that is we were really driving a lot, and it was all just flat desert. There was nothing to look at. There was no way to stop. It was 1,000 degrees out, so all I could do was look at my phone. No, we listen to the radio. So I started tweeting. It was a way to keep up, and I still didn't feel like I could keep up.
It's impossible, and sometimes I feel like I'm incapable of absorbing everything that's going on, and I think that's by design, right?
Yeah,
like for instance, and we'll get to the Don Jr. stuff, but
there's so much other stuff though.
Right.
I have all those tweets I sent you. I've got about 10 tabs up or more with different tweets and different a couple of stories that nobody's really covering. So. We got a ton to talk about.
A couple of big things. One is apparently the new healthcare bill, the new version of the, I always want to call it the BRCA. It's the BCRA, but BRCA is that's the breast cancer gene, right? That's why what I think of when I think of the this new healthcare law. I'll call it the BRCA for short. It by the way makes no changes at all to Medicaid. So hopefully that kills it right there. We'll see. Regardless, that's supposed to be out by Thursday. They're expecting the CBO score by Monday and to vote on it by next week. Then on top of that, Mitch McConnell has also postponed the August recess. They were supposed to leave, I guess, the first week in August, and now they don't leave until the third.
Right.
To get... you know, healthcare and other stuff done.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Well, I hope.
You know, and meanwhile, Trump is blaming the Democrats for obstruction, which is hilarious considering we don't have the majorities in any part of the government.
Right.
And so there's no way we can really obstruct.
And not only that, they have amnesia over the last 8 years. It's like the last 8 years didn't exist.
Exactly. It was as I keep tweeting out to Trump. I do this to the White House account, to the Trump account, to Spicy's account. Anybody who won't listen to me, actually, I keep saying, "See 2008, 2016, Mitch McConnell, obstruction."
Yeah.
Because that's all they did. They planned on doing that. They carried it out beautifully and successfully because they ended up getting their Supreme Court justice by obstructing ours. So
that's right.
For him to come out and say any of that is so unbelievably hypocritical that it makes me madder than I'm already mad. So
here I am this morning. I finish up my What's News. I get all caught up sort of on, you know, the New York Times story and thank goodness for some great interviews on CNN and MSNBC and Stephen Colbert because they did, you know, pretty much all the work for me. And I sit down, it's, I don't know, 11:30, sit down in front of the TV and the emails are out. So Donnie Boy, Junior, I think I'm just going to call him Junior from now on.
Just call him Junior.
So Junior released his own email, the whole email chain. He only did it because the New York Times had it and they were about to release it anyway. He said, give me a little more time to deal with it. And of course, then he tweeted it out. But this email is pretty damn damning.
Oh, it's like, you know, why not just have a big sticker saying we colluded with Russia and here it is in print?
Or
we
wanted to.
Obvious.
We wanted to collude with Russia if we possibly could have. So here's the email that Junior got from this guy, Rob Goldstone. Okay. And have you seen a picture of Rob Goldstone?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
so
my
if you
God.
Haven't,
he
just
kinda
Google
looks
him.
Like a walrus. If nobody's seen him. I'm not being mean. He kind of looks like a walrus.
He does. He really does. Anyway, he's just what you would think of the sleazy, you know, record producer kind of slob.
Ugh. Yeah.
Anyway, Rob Goldstone sent an email on June 3rd at 10:36 a.m. to Junior, and he wrote, "Good morning. Eamon is a Russian pop star who is friendly with the Trumps. Donald, dad, was in a video for him. They became friends during the whole Miss Universe thing there in 2013, apparently. Eamon's dad is I guess, an oligarch.
He's known as the Russian Trump, what was the word? I've forgotten the description. Like something like, you know, the Russian version of Trump in business, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So that's
he's a rich asshole.
Russia. That's it. That's Russian for rich asshole.
And has connections with the Kremlin. Okay. So Eamon just called and asked me to contact you with something very interesting. Oh. The Crown Prosecutor of Russia. Now, let me stop here and say there apparently is no Crown Prosecutor of Russia, but Rob Goldstone is British and they have a Crown Prosecutor there. So the equivalent of whoever would that person would be is who he was talking about. The Crown Prosecutor of Russia met with his father, Aris, this morning, and in their meeting offered to provide the Trump campaign with some official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia and would be very useful to your father. This is obviously very high-level and sensitive information, but is part of Russia and its government's support for Mr. Trump, helped along by Aris and Eamon. What do you think is the best way to handle this information, and would you be able to speak to Eamon about it directly? I can send this info to your father via Rona, who is his assistant, but it is ultra-sensitive, so wanted to send to you first. Best, Rob Goldstone.
Meaning, I want to emphasize the word first, meaning second, it'll go to
right,
your dad.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So
let's
not overlook that.
Right. And so Junior responds like 20 minutes later. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate that. I'm on the road at the moment, but perhaps I could speak to Eamon first. Seems we have some time. And if it's what you say, I love it.
I love it,
especially later in the summer. Could we do a call first thing next week when I'm back? Best, Don.
And love, Donnie.
Yes. And sure enough, 3 days later on the Monday, Rob writes him back and they set up the meeting and the rest, as they say, is history. Now, this shows that everything Junior said about the meeting, in his two statements is a lie.
Yeah. Oh, everything everybody has been saying. Wait, did you get to pay? Did you read page four yet? I'm just curious of the emails.
That was page four, which was actually
okay.
Page
okay,
one.
Well, make sure.
That was actually the first page because it went in reverse order. So that was page four. I didn't bother reading the other stuff. The other stuff is going back and forth about when they can get together at 3 o'clock, at 4 o'clock. But this is the important stuff. It's on what Junior tweeted out separately as page four.
That's what I was wondering, because I had it tabbed and I want to make sure that was what you were reading.
That's
from.
What that was.
Okay, so I got rid of that tab. On Twitter, everybody has been passing around various quotes and tweets and recorded, video segments of Donnie Jr. saying, no, I don't know a thing. What are you talking about? You're all crazy.
Yep.
And all these old tweets from Trump, too. And it's just a riot to catch them in these lies that are very dangerous lies. And by the way, I did, I have a page tabbed here that tells you all the possible legal issues that they could have and how likely it is that anything could happen.
Well, we'll get to that in a second. The thing that gets me is you listen to all the Republican apologists and they're all, they're new to politics. They didn't grow up in politics.
Please.
I don't care. There's ignorance of the law is no excuse. Whether it's, you didn't know that there was no right turn on red. Doesn't matter.
You still get
the fucking ticket.
Right.
And
absolutely.
This is that on a bigger scale.
Not only that, they weren't that naive because one of the people at the meeting was Manafort.
That's right.
And he was a 40-year seasoned politician. So they surrounded themselves with people who would know better. They had their top guy, their campaign manager, who knew better at the meeting.
That's
so
right.
So the naivete thing doesn't work anymore.
Right. And the Colbert, I don't know if you heard what's news, the Colbert clip was just so perfect. So, he just locked up the nomination and Junior tells, the top aide and the campaign CEO, he wasn't even the manager, he was the head guy. We're going to have a meeting. I don't know who it's with and I don't know what it's about, but, come on anyway. Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right,
we'll
sure.
be there.
Of course. And with that burning part of the email that says, we've got Hillary stuff. I have a hard time believing he kept that part to himself.
Right.
So, yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they can say there's no, is there an email trail? I mean, that's what they're going to be looking for because part of the recipients were left off the thread, but that doesn't stop him from picking up the phone and saying, okay, here's what it's about, guys. You're not going to believe this.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And apparently Donald was at Trump Tower that week. I mean, the whole thing, it just stinks to high heavens. Can you imagine if Hillary Clinton had won and the roles were reversed and it was, mm-hmm. Bill Clinton and Chelsea and John Podesta meeting with some Russian attorney who said, from the government, they have information on Donald Trump. Can you imagine? Yeah.
Oh my God. And our friend Empty Wheel, Marcy Wheeler, yeah. was saying, well, this kind of puts an end to that whole we were wiretapped thing, because at the time, I'm trying to remember what she said now in her blog post, at the time, the spy. I can't think of the word. My mind just went blank. This is what happens when you come back from vacation.
It happens to
NSA
me all the time.
Or whoever it would be.
Right. The intelligence community.
We weren't 100%, but now they have emails. So that say, here's what's happening. If they had known, I mean, I've got to find you. Talk for a second. I got to find you the Empty Wheel thing.
Okay. So
because it was so good for a sec. It was so good what she wrote, and I want to read it to you.
Okay. In the meantime. So Gotta Laugh is finding that. No, the whole thing, the email is astounding.
I got it.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. That was quick. She first goes on to introduce the entire storyline. And then she says, this one line, once and for all, proved that the NSA under President Obama did not TAPP tap Trump and his associates. Uh-huh. That's because in the IC report on the Russian hack, and as recently as Admiral Mike Rogers' most recent appearance before Congress, NSA only had moderate confidence in the conclusion that Putin affirmatively supported Trump. Had the NSA collected this email, they would have had high confidence Putin was affirmatively helping Trump. This is a point Tate also made not long after I made it. But Rogers has said there was something about the source of the prior intel supporting this point that led NSA to adopt a more conservative stance than FBI and CIA. So, yeah, the dumbass son not only incriminated himself, she says, but he did away with one of the few talking points the GOP had left.
You know, here's the thing. Having this in writing, now, he's not the one who initiated it. It was this Rob Goldstone guy. But still, if he was supposed to do in that instance is immediately read the email and go, holy shit, call the FBI.
Exactly.
In fact, here's Lindsey Graham talking about that very thing.
Anytime you're in a campaign and you get an offer from a foreign government to help your campaign, the answer is no. So I don't know what Mr. Trump Jr.'s version of the facts are. He has to testify. That email is disturbing. But what is equally odd to me is that the person they met with knew absolutely nothing. So I don't know why they would pick somebody for him to meet with that didn't have any information about the Clinton campaign. But on its face, this is very problematic. We cannot allow foreign governments to reach out to anybody's campaign and say, we'd like to help you. That is a non-starter. I know Donald Trump Jr. is new to politics. I know that Jared Kushner is new to politics, but... It's going to require a lot of questions to be asked and answered.
A lot of questions to be asked and answered. And even some of the defenders, on the Republican side, I was hearing them saying that, Junior is going to have to go before committees and answer a lot of questions. This raises a lot of questions.
He's already scheduled to. And also, I don't know if you saw the NBC interview with the Russian lawyer.
Yeah.
Did you see this?
I have some of it here. What were you going to say? She did what?
Well, there's a lawyer who is respected, who on Twitter goes by Pawn All The Things, and I don't remember. This is Matt Tate. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And he was saying, I'm sorry. Maybe it was one of those rogue accounts, but they say that she flipped and said, well, it seemed as if they were soliciting me.
Well, here, it's not a very short clip, but it's very interesting. The interview is with Keir Simmons, who I really like. I watched him during the protests in Hamburg, trying to outrun the water cannons and stuff.
He was great.
And so now he's in Russia, and he got the exclusive interview with this woman, Natalia Veselnitskaya.
Yes.
Easy for me to say. Veselnitskaya. Yeah. And here is a little bit of it.
She tells a fascinating story of getting a phone call from a man she didn't know and being told to come to Trump Tower for a meeting with the Trump campaign. She says they wanted information, particularly financial information about the Clinton campaign, information she says she didn't have.
In June, you met with Donald Trump Jr., with Jared Kushner, with Paul Manafort. What was the purpose of that meeting?
I never knew who else would be attending the meeting. All I knew that Mr. Donald Trump Jr. was willing to meet with me. I could recognize the young gentleman who was only present in the meeting for probably the first 7 to 10 minutes, and then he stood up and left the room. It was Mr. Jared Kushner, and he never came back, by the way. And the other individual who was at the same meeting was always looking at his phone. He was reading something. He never took any active part in the conversation. That was Mr. Manafort.
They had the impression, it appears, that they were going to be told some information that you had about the DNC. How did they get that impression?
It's quite possible that maybe they were looking for such information. They wanted it so badly.
They wanted it so badly. They were looking for the information. They wanted it so badly. Yeah.
All right. Well, the POTUSstaff.com, which is one of the rogue accounts, I did find their blog. They were the ones that I was referring to, not the law guy. Okay. I thought. Here's the last paragraph of their blog that they wrote about this. And the title is, Has Russia Flipped on the President? While it might be tempting to imagine the president is suddenly a target of the same Russian machine that he thought was an ace up his sleeve, this appears more like a warning shot. As we have explained before, the president has often believed he can manipulate Putin and has attempted to straddle both sides of the fence. Even while placating Russian interests, the president has often insisted with full sincerity that he will be able to utilize Putin to achieve the president's own goals. These lofty ambitions have included such foolish beliefs that the president could convince Putin to essentially change loyalties against Syria and to become involved in pressuring North Korea to halt their weapons program. And while Secretary Tillerson has been tight-lipped about the recent G20 meeting between Presidents Trump and Putin, we now, I think it's supposed to be now, understand that he feels President Trump's performance was a somewhat embarrassing mix between clumsy attempts at peacocking and obtusely misreading Putin's refined reserve as weakness. It appears that an unimpressed Putin is sending a signal about who's in charge, comply or be destroyed.
Wow. Well, that makes
sense. And then the rest came out.
Well, the whole time during the whole, the G20 and when they were meeting, there was so much talk about how many years of experience was in that room, government experience with when it was Putin and Lavrov and Trump and Tillerson. You know, it was 8 months. And four, 50 or 60 years worth of government, versus 60 years of government experience. So he's outmatched. Putin is a KGB guy. This is what he does. He
could have been outmatched if a cat was in the room.
Well, there's that. There is that.
Yeah. I mean, please. There was a closed, a no cameras allowed White House lying session today with Hucka Spicy.
Yes.
And she said that Trump is calling Trump Jr. a high quality person and applauds his transparency.
It was the official statement. She read Donald Trump. This is what's so telling. Donald Trump has not tweeted once about Jr. Not once since this story broke over the weekend, not a word. And it was a statement from POTUS on Don Jr. My son is a high quality person and I applaud his transparency.
Thank you. Okay.
End quote.
I just saw the tweet. Thanks.
Yes. That's pretty amazing. And, transparency, says the guy who still refuses to release a tax return.
Oh, please. Meanwhile, I'm going to read you three tweets. We can go to TweetSpot if you want.
Let's go to TweetSpot. I've got a couple as well. So let's do it.
Welcome to my TweetSpot.
Okay, what tweets you got, Laffy?
Okay, I got, this is from today because I have a bunch from yesterday too, but Greg Sargent tweeted, and then I'm going to read you a response or two. He says, we now know the Trump campaign was perfectly willing to collude with the Russian government at a minimum, and then he posts some stuff. LOL GOP, who we love, mm-hmm. said the president's campaign has been exposed as at least betraying the U.S. to foreign interests. The GOP's priority? Uninsuring its own voters. Then Greg Sargent goes on. He answers Chris Hayes. Chris Hayes says just about every single member of the Republican Congress has signed on to a cover-up without knowing what they're covering up. Mm-hmm. Oops. And then Greg Sargent says it's worse. Republicans refused to act during the campaign yep. when briefed on Russian sabotage of our democracy in real time. And then David Waldman, KGroX, our pal, says because Ryan and McDonnell ordered them, or McConnell, I'm sorry, God, my brain. Ryan and McConnell ordered them to shut up and sign on, trading away the country for partisan gain and what, quote, power there was left.
You know, that needs to be focused on for a second here, because it yes. was stunning, because the Obama administration may not have done much publicly because, sorry, chicken shit Barack Obama was so afraid of looking like he was flexing any partisan muscle that he didn't want to, you know, sound the alarms on Russian interference in the election. He was always so afraid of appearances. This administration knows nothing of appearances, or doesn't give a shit. But the members of Congress were briefed, and the Republicans said, oh, well.
Yeah, it says here in Greg Sargent's article, top congressional Republicans were told
yep.
that Russia was trying to tip yep. the election and argued against doing something public about it.
Yep.
He says, criticism of the Obama administration's inaction in the face of Russian meddling in the election is fair game. But let's not forget that during the summer of 2016, top Obama administration officials went to Congress and briefed 12 top congressional officials of both parties about the Russian meddling effort. And this happened, quote, and this was from Washington Post. Yes. The meeting devolved into a partisan squabble. The Dems were, hey, we have to tell the public, recalled one participant. But Republicans resisted, arguing that to warn the public that the election was under attack would further Russia's aim of sapping confidence in the system. McConnell went further, voicing skepticism that the underlying intelligence truly supported the White House claims, blah, blah, blah. So there you have it. You know, yes. Obama was very cautious about a number of things, and that was one of them, but McConnell out and out blocked it.
That's right. Well, as they did everything else that Obama, not that Obama wanted to necessarily do anything about it. Again, this is somebody on his staff said we choked. And yeah, I think he did, because mm-hmm. if he were stronger, he would have said, you know what, this is our democracy at stake. I don't care what it looks like. It's what it is. We need mm-hmm. to sound the alarms. Not that it would have made any difference, but they should have done something or said something. They did a few things. I mean, there were sanctions put on after the election, but certainly, and they warned Congress. They did go to Congress, but still something more should have been done. But now
right.
you've got the Trump administration doing nothing at all.
Zero.
To prevent this from happening in 2018 or 2020 or any time in the future. They're just going, nah, I got blinders on. I can't see. I don't care. This, you know, we'll have a cybersecurity commission with Vladimir Putin. In fact, here's Ash Carter, who was the last Secretary of Defense under Obama, talking about that.
Russians pulled out the old playbook. I've seen all this going back to Russian and Soviet days. When confronted with something they've done wrong, ask for U.S. intelligence. Old trick. Propose a working group, in this case on cyber. But this is like the guy who robbed your house proposing a working group on burglary. It's they who did this.
So was it a mistake for the Trump administration to buy it?
Duh.
Well, I don't think they can buy, or we should. It's fine to talk to the Russians about lots of things. It's never a problem talking to people. It's a matter of what you say. But in this case, this isn't just a matter of looking backward. This is a matter of looking forward. We're going to have elections in a year and a half. Mm-hmm. There are state elections, municipal elections, as well as national elections. There are elections in other countries. It's important that there be consequences for the Russians in regard to this. And to me, this is just, getting to your question about Putin, a pattern with Putin.
And the fact is, the Trump administration is doing nothing. And the gall of them, to criticize Obama when they're doing nothing.
Right. And to this is the perfect segue to Stone Kettle, at Stone Kettle, who tweeted a response to that whole thing about Putin and I discussed the cybersecurity unit, right. You know, and then that doesn't, but that doesn't mean I think it can happen. It can't, but a ceasefire can, right. And did, said Trump. Okay, so Stone Kettle goes on a little rant here. He goes, the fact that I promised to build a wall doesn't mean I think it can happen, suckers. The fact that I promised to repeal the ACA and replace it with something better doesn't mean I think it can happen. The fact that I promised to lock up Hillary doesn't mean I think it can happen, chumps. The fact that I promised to bring back coal jobs doesn't mean I think it can happen, LOL. The fact that I promised to defeat ISIS in 30 days doesn't mean I think it can happen. The fact that I promised to renegotiate the Iran deal doesn't mean I think it can happen, but it sounded good, right? The fact that I promised to leave Social Security and Medicare alone doesn't mean I will. Seriously, though, the expression on your face. The fact that I promised to cut taxes doesn't mean I think it can happen, other than for the rich, again. Hey, here's a good one. Remember when I promised to, quote, take the oil from ISIS? Ha! Ooh. Not going to happen.
That was
so
a good one.
He went crazy with that one. That was excellent. That was a great run. Anyway, here's some other little tweets from yesterday, and then I have a couple of headline-type things from today. Trump tweeted, if Chelsea Clinton were asked to hold the seat for her mother as her mother gave our country away, the fake news could say, Chelsea for president. And this was because Ivanka at the G20 acted like the president.
Well,
sat
in the leader's seat at the leader's table when he had to go have a meeting with the Japanese or something. Usually it's a cabinet member who takes the seat. And so Twitter went nuts, as they should. I mean, this is not a monarchy. It's not a family-based system. Can you imagine first of all, Chelsea Clinton tweeted something back, well, neither my mother or father would ever consider putting me in that position.
Exactly. And Kevin Schroff, who is the founder of Millennial Dems, he used to work for Hillary Clinton in the digital area, he replied, Chelsea has a PhD in international relations from Oxford. Ivanka is a failed fashion designer who uses child labor. Ooh. So even that argument, just wouldn't cut it. Sorry.
Yep.
So there's that. Jason Kander, who is president of Let America Vote Now, he says, with just one phone call, the world's most powerful man could order a surrender on Trump care, yet he sits in the Kremlin and does nothing. So everyone's jumping on it. Here's something that really is important and is something that John Oliver addressed on his show.
Yes, he did.
The Hill reports, and this was their tweet, Sinclair Broadcasting triples the number of commentaries by ex-Trump advisor Boris Epstein that local news stations must air.
Must air.
And now, John Oliver addressed, and this is part of the article, addressed Sinclair's corporate office requirement to run these segments on Last Week Tonight, noting that Sinclair's alleged right-wing bias would inject conservative views into local news broadcasts. The deal between Sinclair and Tribune would make Sinclair the largest TV station owner in the country.
Yep. That's the thing. They're going to own more TV stations than any other company. They're talking about Sinclair will turn into the next Fox News and will likely eclipse Fox in its reach.
Oh, yeah.
Word is that Bill O'Reilly is going to go there.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it. It would be a perfect home for him.
Yep.
Now, what they do is they insert these little segments and they act as if they're part of the news show. It doesn't say, like, here's a commercial for Sinclair and here's what they think.
No,
and
it's part of their news. Yep, and they're required to run them. They also have other scripts. The John Oliver segment from last week was great. I'm sure it's on YouTube because they always put them up on YouTube, so it's worth watching. And they do scripted segments too. So the local anchor will be reading these things, not just the Boris Epstein stuff, but these scripted things that are commentary, not news, that the local anchors will read in each market. Again, more must-air stuff. This is really bad stuff coming down the pike.
It is, and it's on local news, which more people tend to watch and believe. You know, this whole fake news thing is aimed at national news and the big, you know, NBC network type stuff. Mm-hmm. These are like, you know, in my area, Tribune is like Channel 5, which is syndicated stuff. So, So locals watch local news, and this is inserted. This is propaganda inserted into local news. This is really dangerous stuff.
Yeah.
Really dangerous. The people will be told how to vote, basically.
Yeah. It's frightening.
Really frightening. Then here's something else that's frightening. John Dean tweeted out a Pew poll. He said, remarkable that 58% of the GOP believe college educations have a negative impact on the USA. So stupid, no comment needed. And I printed out, and you have it, a chart. I don't even know if you can show it. Did you?
No, I don't have it. No, I don't have it, so I can
show
okay.
it. That's okay. It's a chart of a number of things. It's what Democrats and Republicans feel about churches and religious organizations, bank and financial institutions, labor unions, the national news media, and college and universities. And churches and religious, the Republicans are about 20% more favorable toward those, although the Democrats are at 50% for those.
Yep.
Banks and financial.
46 to 33. Republicans trust. They find it has a positive. Banks and financial institutions have a more positive impact on their lives and how things are going in the country. That's stunning to me.
It's stunning. And what really bothers me is labor unions. A positive for Democrats is 59%. I wish it were higher. And for Republicans, 33%. They've been busting unions really, really hard for at least the last 7, 8, 9 years that I've been writing about it. It's just awful. Then the national news media, this is a given, a negative for Republicans at 85% with a 10% positive, and for even for Democrats, only a 44% positive and 46% negative.
Yep.
The national news media.
That's amazing.
And like we were saying just now, the local news media is where Sinclair is going to be focusing.
Yes. So, you know, but the thing about that, and look, lately I've been praising the New York Times and the Washington Post because they've been doing amazing work. But if you, I fault cable news whatever it is. It's not really news. It's this entity that is called cable news for the rise of Donald Trump. Anointed him. They were the kingmakers. CNN especially. It's amazing that Donald Trump is so down on CNN. They're the ones responsible. They, along with Fox, are responsible for him being president.
Well, they gave them, what was it? How many billions? $2 billion worth of free airtime
between
the different cable news outlets?
Yep.
And just constant, I remember just screaming on Twitter about, why are you guys showing the entire rally that he's having? Why are you showing all of his entire speeches where, you know, you see Hillary in a corner with the mute on, you know, talking, but you have the entire screen taken up by Trump screaming about get him out, lock her up, all that stuff.
Yeah, well, that's why, because it was good for ratings. And that's the only reason they did it, without thinking about the unintended consequences, which
they knew.
They didn't care.
Yeah, that's it. It's not unintended. They knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it just made me sick. It made a lot of people sick. And one of the good things that came out of everyone screaming, like I've been screaming at MSNBC every time they start adding all these Republican and conservative new hosts or commentators like George Will and Nicole Wallace is at least a little friendlier about it. I'll put it that way.
I don't watch her. You know why I don't watch her?
I don't watch her.
She needs a voice coach.
She
needs to bring her voice down a couple of octaves because she's got this screechy kind of sounding voice. And it's just like, it's like fingernails on a blackboard to me. So
It's hard to listen to, but I'll give her the more open-mindedness of all of them.
Yes.
But they finally, Greta left and or got fired and they put in Ari Melber. They will be putting in Ari Melber.
Which I think is a good move.
It's definitely a good move because people turned off their TVs, thank you, and they spoke out, thank you.
Yep.
It was made very obvious. Nicole Wallace is staying on. I have no idea how she's doing, but they're putting they put on Hugh Hewitt.
At eight o'clock in the morning on Saturdays, and I think they have Al Sharpton at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. It's a throwaway time to them, so nobody's watching anyway.
But that brings Hugh Hewitt on.
Yep.
Unfortunately, as a commentator, because they always put their hosts in as commentators on panels, so you see Hugh Hewitt's little terrible face.
Yeah, but he was there
anyway
because he was a contributor. Contributor just means that they're paid. Yeah,
exactly. So, now they have an excuse because they want to push a show, so they'll put him on even more. It makes me sick. But okay, here's what I wanted to tell you: the legal aspects to this Trump Jr. thing. Meeting warrants investigation. Okay. They break it down into what you might expect. Solicitation. Experts say it can be difficult to determine whether unlawful solicitation has occurred, as there is little established law or precedent. This seems to be a problem with little established law or precedent. Simply attending the meeting did not cross that line, said experts. So there's one. I'm not going to read you the whole thing.
Okay.
Accepting a contribution. Now, this is short. If Trump, Kushner, and Manafort accepted information on Clinton from then a legal case against them would be fairly clear cut. Prosecutors would need to show that a foreign national or foreign government spent some money to obtain the research or information on Clinton and the three knowingly accepted it. Although
I don't think it has to be
money.
Right. It's something of value and information that would be, and what is the word that they used here? Information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia and would be very useful to your father. I think that would meet the criteria. Now, it shouldn't matter whether they got it or not. The fact that that Junior sees this and says, I love it, I'll take that meeting, it should be enough.
That's what I've been hearing, too. This is ABC News, by the way, just so you know my source. This may have been prematurely written, too. Maybe they hadn't gotten enough input, but that's what they say. Anyway, could this be prosecuted? If there was a violation of these laws, the FEC could, which is, forget it, could bring a civil action against Trump, Kushner,
right, and that's the thing they want. Well, but here's the good news. First of all, I don't hold out much hope for the different committees that are doing their investigations, but Robert Mueller is doing his investigation, and everyone agrees that he's beyond, you know, above reproach. So, you know that this is not escaping him. You know that he's on this case.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. We won't hear about it, but we know it.
Nope.
Just got a breaking news that says a Russian who met Junior during the U.S. campaign says she couldn't have had information on Hillary Clinton. I don't know what that means. And I don't even know why that's
breaking news.
Of course they're going to say that.
Right. Why is that breaking news?
I'll see if there's more, but sometimes they don't give you a link.
Well, Mark Warner, let me give you this one. Mark Warner, who is the ranking Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, who is doing one of the investigations, he had a mini tweet storm today. He said, this is black and white. Trump officials at the highest levels knew Russia was working to aid Donald Trump and welcomed Russia's interference. We now know that denials of contacts with Russians that we've heard during the campaign transition and administration are all patently false. There are no excuses for what we've seen in the last 24 hours. Lying is not a rookie mistake. For all the denials we've heard from the administration, for anyone who said there's smoke but no fire, I'm curious what they'll say now.
Exactly. And in that same article, which I've now deleted, it did say that experts, you know, are in unison about what you just said, that come on, guys.
I hope so. But Republicans, some of them are still on TV, you know, giving them cover.
No, all over Twitter, too. They're actually saying, no, it's not a big deal.
Right.
Excuse me?
It's amazing.
Well, it will be a big deal. So they can say it all they want.
I hope.
The New York Times put out a little chart of Kushner, Sessions, Flynn, Trump Jr., Michael D. Cohen, who was the personal lawyer to Trump, and Manafort, and how they are linked and how they misled officials. So if anyone is interested, I can put the link to the chart on our chat room. I'll do that in a second.
All right.
Now here's something that was a little disturbing. The new CDC head, Fitzgerald, peddled is that you or me?
CDC, Center for Disease Control. Yeah.
I'm hearing it's an audio I'm getting that you're not.
Nope.
It's an autoplay and I don't know how to turn it off. Anyway, peddled controversial anti-aging medicine before leaving private practice.
Oh, my God.
So Dr. Brenda Fitzgerald, appointed Friday as director of U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, is a board-certified OBGYN who saw patients for 30 years in private practice. Unlike any OBGYN I know, Fitzgerald treated men as well as women. That's because besides being board-certified in OBGYN, she is a fellow in anti-aging medicine, and it goes on and on and on. So she's peddling snake oil. She's literally peddling snake oil.
Do we have a surgeon general?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. You know, it is hurricane season, and there is a storm brewing out somewhere in the Atlantic already.
Yep.
And we have no head of NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Agency. We have no head of FEMA. And Trump is bitching about that this administration has been slow on approving his nominees. They haven't nominated anybody. I mean, you know, maybe the Democrats have maybe dragging their feet on some of them, but he's not appointing the really crucial appointments.
Heck of a job. Brownie's out there if
no
he wants
kidding.
Him.
No kidding.
Hmm. Here's something. Twitter users, this is New York Times. Twitter users blocked by Trump have filed a lawsuit.
Good.
Yep. They said that that his account amounts to a public forum that he, as a government official, cannot bar people from. So that is, I've been waiting for this. It's been brewing behind the scenes. There have been a lot of little articles saying it's coming. The blocked Twitter users, represented by the Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, First Amendment Institute at Columbia University, raised cutting-edge issues about how the Constitution applies to the social media era. They say Mr. Trump cannot bar people from engaging with his account because they express opinions he did not like, such as mocking or criticizing him. And then it goes on. So that's
good.
That's good to know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've said that that his tweets are official administration statements. They are.
He called it himself. He said the new presidential, what did he say? This is the new presidential something.
Mode of communication. I don't know. He
called himself the new, I can't remember. I'd have to look that up too. But he labeled it himself. In other words, he has, again, by tweeting, admitted the thing they need in court in order to sue him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's an idiot.
Yes,
he is. And his son, by the way, I believe if the tweet is going to hold and if he doesn't cancel, Junior is going on TV tonight.
He's going on Sean Hannity's show. He's going to be on Insanity on Fox. I'm hoping some, you know, one of the left-leaning websites pulls some clips because I'm not going to be watching it.
Oh, God, I've never turned on Fox, ever, intentionally, except to watch the debates. That's it.
Uh-huh.
But I have a thing, like if Mr. Laffy lights on it for a minute, because he likes to kind of check in and
you know,
laugh at them.
David does, too. He finds it very funny. I don't find it funny. I get angry.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel. I can't, even the sight of the TV screen with that stuff all over it.
I hear you.
I hate it.
I hear you. I hear you. Hey, by the way, so you know, 4th of July, you know what happened with Chris Christie and all that with the beach?
Yes.
Well, he did a thing. The news was portraying it as he was doing an audition for a sports talk station in New York. I don't know if he was doing an audition for a new job, maybe in his own mind. I can't imagine they'd put him on. But did you hear this phone call?
I heard about it. No,
okay, well, I've got a caller. Mike in Montclair called Chris Christie.
What's up, Mike? Governor, next time you want to sit on a beach that is closed to the entire world except you, you put your fat ass in a car and go to one that's open to all your constituents.
Well, you know,
not just you and yours.
Interesting, Mike. You know what?
What's that, Gov?
You know, Mike, I love getting calls from communists in Montclair.
Communists in Montclair.
You know,
you're a bully,
you
Governor, I don't like bullies.
You know what? And listen, I'm not the one who came on the air. Hey, hold on, Mike. Mike, I'm not the guy who came on the air, swore on the air.
Who swore?
So you did. I
got to kick the heck out of you.
Yeah, you know, you're swearing on the air, Mike. You're a bum.
You know,
bad optics.
Okay?
Mike, I'd love to come look at your optics every day, buddy.
He is a bully.
You know something? He started this whole abuse of citizens thing that Trump picked up on.
Yeah, he did.
You know, and now they've both set this precedent where it used to be unheard of to speak like that if you were any kind of a statesman or elected official. And he set the stage now. So anybody, I really hope somehow that this country can go backwards in the sense of decorum and civility and respect for each other. You can disagree without calling somebody a communist.
Yes, right. He's a communist because he said something about his fat ass.
Right. You know. Like communism has to do with his, right. his ass.
Yeah, you communists in Montclair. All right, oh, yeah. Way to go, Governor Christie. Yeah, well, he's on his way out. The music means we are just about out of time. Gotta laugh. Oh. It's good to have you back.
Oh, good to be back. Thanks.
And we'll do it again next Tuesday.
Got it.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Tomorrow on the show, how's this for timing? The head of the National Whistleblower Center. His name is Stephen Cohen. And a couple of years ago, I interviewed him because they released the National Whistleblower's Handbook. And we talked about this. I talked about this a few weeks ago. And I said, I'm going to track him down. I'm going to get this guy back on. Well, they've reissued it, an updated version. And it just came out last week. So talk about timing. So Stephen Cohen... Yeah, Stephen Cohen, the National Whistleblower Center founder, will be with us because there's all this talk about all the leaks coming from the White House. I want to know what the difference is between a leaker and a whistleblower. If somebody on the White House staff blew the whistle that this kind of shit is going on, I think that's a whistleblower, not a leaker. All right, so that's what's on tap for tomorrow, and we'll see what else the day brings us. Never a dull moment, that's for sure. Thank you for listening. As always, I'm Nicole Sandler. Thanks to the Progressive Voices Network. And stick around. Lots more great programming on the Progressive Voices Network. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
It's Tuesday, July 11, 2017.
G20 summit has ended in Germany with U.S. President Donald Trump isolated on the issue of climate change.
The world moves forward on climate change as Trump retreats.
Why don't we have a red team approach and let the scientists and listen to what they have to say about it?
But that's exactly how science works.
Trump administration announces red team effort to question climate science. Court reject bid to roll back methane emission rules. Volvo to make every car model electric, plus...
Look, it's up to you and it's up to me and tens of millions of other people.
California's green governor trumps Trump with global climate summit.
All of that Trumping and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Trump's presidency is basically like global warming. Every week is the worst week on record. And the Republicans are also trying hard to deny it.
Ouch. Yes, they are. No denial here. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, it seems the world is moving on without Donald Trump, as was apparent once again at the G20 summit over the weekend.
Yes, the G20 turned into the G19 plus one. President Donald Trump further isolated the U.S. from its foreign allies at a meeting of the world's 20 largest economies in Hamburg, Germany over the weekend. The leader's final joint statement deepened the stark divide over climate change, formally noting Trump's decision to withdraw the United States from the landmark United Nations Paris Climate Agreement. But the other leaders called the agreement, quote, irreversible, and issued detailed policy blueprints on how their countries plan to meet their commitments to reduce emissions.
This is so embarrassing. It was not only a bunch of longtime U.S. allies like Britain, France, Germany, and so forth who were splitting with the U.S. here, but also Russia, China, Saudi Arabia. All of those guys were all together. The U.S. was all by itself.
In a press conference, British Prime Minister Theresa May tried to leave the door open for President Trump.
When I brought it up with him, what I did was encouraged him to bring the United States back into the Paris Agreement. And I continue to hope that that is exactly what the United States will do.
Good luck with that.
But fears that Trump's recalcitrance might erode the Paris Agreement and give cover to oil exporting countries increased on Sunday when President Erdogan of Turkey announced that his country will not be ratifying the Paris Agreement, although some observers said that could be his attempt at leverage to receive more international energy transition funding. Here in the U.S., scientists have universally condemned Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt's announcement that he will launch what he calls a red team analysis to formally challenge mainstream climate science. The scientists said such critiques are already embedded in climate science, and they warn Pruitt is trying to bypass the peer review process and elevate climate science deniers in order to delay action on climate change.
Well, good. Let them challenge it. Let them have their red team, blue team exercise, make it public, and then we will see how the red team appears to be failing.
Pruitt also announced that red team shortly after meeting with coal baron Robert Murray, a Trump campaign contributor who's also suing comedian John Oliver of HBO for defamation, claiming a segment that mocked him has been detrimental to his coal business.
My God, this world is insane.
Meanwhile, extreme weather impacts escalate across the world. In Siberia, forest fires driven by extreme heat and high winds are said to be the worst in 10,000 years. Across the American West, another record heat wave with high winds sparked numerous fast-moving wildfires, including one near Santa Barbara, California, that trapped nearly 80 youth campers before they were safely evacuated. And parts of the Great Barrier Reef in Australia have now been officially declared dead due to high ocean temperatures, and scientists say they are unlikely to regenerate. But some good news. The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals rejected a Trump EPA attempt to delay a rule for cutting methane emissions from new oil and gas wells, meaning that oil and gas companies will have to comply and reduce methane emissions on all new wells. But it's only a temporary victory for clean air. Administrator Pruitt is still trying to rewrite and weaken those rules. Swedish car maker Volvo Car Group is taking the plunge, announcing that starting in 2019, every model sold by Volvo will, at a minimum, be at least partly powered by an electric motor and battery system, whether hybrid or pure electric. And finally, a defiant California Governor Jerry Brown is charging ahead, announcing that his state will host a global climate summit on climate and environmental action in San Francisco in September 2018.
Yes, I know President Trump is trying to get out of the Paris Agreement, but he doesn't speak for the rest of America. We in California and states all across America believe it's time to act. It's time to join together, and that's why at this Climate Action Summit, we're going to get it done.
Go Jerry Brown. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.